You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Chof, and we're holding in the middle of the Sugya Malika. And as our Mishnah has pointed out, there seems to be a mirror image between Shechita and Malika. So that whatever area of the neck was kosher for Shechita was possible for Malika, and vice versa. So today we're going to continue on into other elements in which there seems to be some crossover, possible crossover, and then issues in which there's other differences. So let's begin four lines up from the bottom. Amri b'nei Rebbe Chiya, mitzvat milika machazir simanim la'achorei ha'orev u'molek. So what the b'nei Rebbe Chiya said was that the way to do malika, or perhaps included within the mitzvahs of malika, we're going to discuss those two possibilities in a moment, is to bring the simanim forcibly around to the back of the neck and do the malika that way without puncturing the spinal cord before doing the cutting of the simanim. Now, there's two approaches to what they were saying. Ikedi amri af machzir. There are those who say that what they said was you could even do it that way. Ikedi amri machazir dafka. And the other approach was they're saying, no, this is the way to do malika, because if you do it the other way, then you're going to basically kill the animal, or at least turn it into a trefa, we'll see about this in a moment, before you get to the simani. And that doesn't make sense. It makes more sense to go directly to the simani, and then if this is the way to do it, and then to cut through the mafreket. Umistavr says the word, it's more reasonable to say, keman yomer af machzir, that it's okay also to be machzir. Why do I say that? It's more reasonable. Now, if Lemaisa, what you're saying is that it's supposed to be a mirror image, and that doing Malika is kosher ba'oref, but doing Shechita in the oref would always be pasul, that's not really true. Because according to what B'nai Rebbe Chiya would then be saying, is that the way to do malika is to bring the simanim around the back. But if you bring the simanim around the back, you can just as well do shechita there. There's nothing magical about the neck for shechita. The important thing is to cut the simanim. What do I care if you twist the animal's head around and now you're gonna pull the simanim to the other side? I mean, who cares really? Because then Isakadaita Mahzir Dafki, you tell me the only way to do the malika is that way, so then why say it's only kosher for malika? My area molek, then why specify malika? Afilo shochet nami, you could even do shechita that way, and then the whole idea of this mirror image breaks down, because there's nothing specific then about the back of the neck if you always have to bring the simonim to the back. Ela lav shmamina af marzir. What they were saying, it would be kosher even if you did, but since that's not standard behavior to drag the simonim around the back of the neck. So because of that, the Mishnah contrasts the normal malika, which is b'daloa hadar, where you didn't drag the simanim to the back, and therefore the standard malika is indeed the opposite of the mokum shechita. All that they're pointing out is that, look, I mean, it's not written in stone. It would be possible to do malika in a way that wouldn't necessarily pasul shechita. And it's exactly on this issue that Rabbi Yanai points out that they're wrong. Omer Rabbi Yanai, you know these upstarts? It's about time they got smacked. Yikablu arovina chuvatan. Let the little upstarts here get their proper response. You read the Mishnah? They don't bother reading the Mishnah. Diktani nimtze kosher b'shchita, possible malika. Kosher malika, possible b'shchita. What do you think that adds? I mean, I know how to add up the facts, right? You started off by telling me, it's savar, kol atzavar is kosher b'shchita, and kol, and the tzadim as well, and then kol ha'oref is kosher malika, and the other way around it's not, and then you got to spell it out for me. And so you see, ta-ta-da, kosher malika spells it for shkita, but obviously you're not telling me so you see. You're trying to add something. Well, the only thing there is to add is exactly this case. That in a case where you would have pulled the siman around the back, nimtza would be possible. And they're saying, no, it's okay. The whole point of the Mishnah is to make it clear that that's not okay. So my love, I mean, don't you agree that the only thing that this could possibly mean is l'mu'utei ma'zir simanim li'achorea orev delo? It's coming to tell me that if you drag the simanim around the back, do not think that that would be kosher malika. No, it would not. And that proves that B'nai Rebbe Chiya should have kept quiet while they could. Omar Rabba Baruch Chana, no. Who say that means that? Maybe it's l'me'ute shein v'tziporen. Maybe the idea over here is that basically kosher b'malika posel b'shchita comes to tell me that the thing that is kosher for malika, which is mechuberet, and it's the only way to do malika, you need to use a finger now. Well, if you would use mechuberet of any kind for shchita, will always be posel. So maybe it's not addressing the place on the neck. Maybe this is saying, and by the way, this is an overall mirror image. It's not only a question of the place, it's the modality, it's what you use to do it, and so on. So maybe that's what it is. Now, wait a minute. It says that the Farish in Vitziporin. That was the Mishnah we had before. Right? I mean, it said, Chutz v'magal katsir v'amagira v'ashinayim ve'atziporin. And we said over there, why is a tziporin possible? You could have a nice, sharp tziporin. We said the tziporin is possible because it's attached. We had the question whether the diraita, did you learn that from Avram Avinu, the whole discussion with Chiya Rebbe. But in any event, what would the Mishnah be adding by repeating a Mishnah? That can't mean what it's saying. You're right. Okay, so shake its form by Hedia Katanina. El Amar Abiyami, okay, there's something else. Something else. How do you do the act of moving? Must you press down, or could you have your fingernail going back and forth as if it were a shnita? That you've never addressed. That's exactly what it's coming to address. That a malika cannot be done as if it were a shkita with a fingernail in the back. The act is a different act. The act is pressing downward and puncturing, not cutting. Where a shkita is badafka, not puncturing and only cutting. So it's another mirror image. That's the idea. So we got a lot of mirror images. Mechuber is a mirror image. The way in which I do the act is a mirror image. And the place is a mirror image. Okay, obviously the Mishnahs are coming to add the mirror image of Mechuber, because that's a Mishnah. But this is certainly a brand new idea. How do you do it? You do it by puncturing downwards and not by moving back and forth. Says the Gemara, well, that is brilliant, except that not everybody agrees that that's the law. I mean, it's a Einich Alamat Yomar, Molechu Mevi B'Malika Pasul. If, in fact, this is a Machlokas we're going to see later on, that the Malika cannot be done with halacha b'ava. Fine, so then in a finami, that's a perfect way to read the Mishnah. But I mean, not everybody holds that. So what about according to the Ma'an Yomar, who says the Malika actually would be kosher if it were done in a to and fro movement? Ma'ikal o'meimar. Well, you can't ask on B'nai Rebbe Chiya anymore. If B'nai Rebbe Chiya hold like the Ma'an Yomar, that Molechu Mevi B'Malika is possible, then the way that they obviously understood the Mishnah was that that was what it was coming to add with that additional, and so you see that it was referring to this, not just because you don't happen to agree, possibly. It's none of our business. You don't come tell me the only thing that the Mishnah must be describing is bringing the simonim around the back. Who says? It's talking about Molochah maybe. Omer Ivkana, mitzvat melika, kotzeit fiore. The point of a malika is that you press down and keep going. And that's the mitzvah. Zoi mitzvata. So somewhere above what he's trying to say is that that's the only way to do the mitzvah. So who thought that what was Rav Kana was saying was kotzeitz v'yored in and only. Molichu mevi lo. Omalei Rav Yirmiyah, no. That's not necessarily true. When you say that's the mitzvah, it doesn't always mean that that is the only way of the mitzvah. It means that's the way the mitzvah was given. It's certainly possible we have a kal v'chomer, because kosher came to melech and maybe melech kosher. The main way that we find in all other circumstances for the Torah to be matir, all zvachim is dafka melech maybe. All ofot, if they're not kodesh, dafka melech maybe. So you're saying we added an additional modality called melech of puncturing. So therefore it's going to be possible melech maybe. Who says? When you say Zohi mitzvata, what that's saying is, this too is the mitzvah malika. But Koshikin, it would be good if it follows the to and fro movement. Omrim Yirmi Amar Shmuel, Ko HaKasher B'Shchita, Kenegdo Ba'oref Kasher B'Malika. So whatever place is kosher for Shchita, take that area behind the neck, and that would be what was kosher for Malika. But I mean, the implication is that you're saying that if it would be possible for Shchita, then it would also be possible for Malika. Now, I don't understand what he is adding. But what's he saying? I mean, he certainly can't be saying the things that the Mishnah said, that Kola Oref is kosher, I mean, that's ridiculous. He's not coming to repeat the Mishnah. He must be coming to tell me the place, not only in terms of the geometry of where on the body from the outside, he's also going to tell me the place, meaning what simonim are suitable for malika. That's what he's saying. So if you couldn't do a shchita on simonim in that state, then that's not a place to do malika. That's what he's saying. So in other words, if there would be ikur simonim, so then apparently it would, if it's possible for shchita, it would be possible also for malika. So the ma'utema. So if you're going to tell me that that's exactly the point, maybe it's coming to say that if the simanim were not properly attached, so then it would be pasul malika. Now here we've got, once again, that serious, very serious machloket between Rashi's approach to what ikur simanim is and what the Bahag's approach, which Tosfos states as well, to what ikur simanim is. I mean, if ikur simanim, and this has been a problem all along in Rashi, is, as Rashi says, a simon that has been detached from a place where it's connected, so let's say it's no longer attached to the jaw, so then that's the equivalent of a torn simon. If it's a torn simon, it's not a problem in Shchita. It's a trefa. So the whole thing stops making sense, as we'll see as we go, as he's learning that it's a trefa, so then why do we need to know that ikur is possible for malika? I mean, obviously, it's a trefa bird. I mean, what, it has nothing to do with the act of malika, the act of shchita. The whole thing doesn't even make sense. It's a classic trefa. Why in the world would there be any difference between one trefa and another trefa of the 70 different trefas when it comes to malika or shchita? It makes no sense whatsoever. According to the Baha'i, where ikur simanim is nothing to do with a torn simon, it means that the placement of the simon is still connected on top and bottom, but it's no longer in its classical channel, in the neck. So it's moved, but it's still attached. So there's no trephis whatsoever, but a loose simon is not a mokum for shchita. That's all. It's a din in shchita. So now the question is it also an equivalent in malika? So Shmuel is saying it is indeed. Whatever would be kosher for shchita, that place, obviously not only the place in the neck, the connect or shchita would be possible. In the oref would be kosher, it would be kosher for malika. But if it was possible for shchita, that is to say that, let's say you have a loose dryer vent hanging when you're looking at the kana, so then you can't do a shchita on it, you can't do a malika on it either. There's a big problem, though, if that's what he meant. Because Atani Rami Bayechesko ain't ikur simanim ba'ov. There is no such thing as the problem of ikur when it comes to birds, even if you're talking about shchita. So then if that's the case, so what are you telling me? Well, if it wouldn't be good for shchita, it wouldn't be good for malika. It's perfectly good for shchita, which, by the way, this is a mad, according to Rashi. What do you mean, ain't ikur simanim ba'ov? Why would there be a difference between one of the trefas and another trefa? There's no such thing as a torn simon for a foot. Never heard of such a thing. Again, another problem with Rashi. Okay, but in any event, it can't mean that. So what does it mean? What did Shmuel come to add? Omer of Papa, Shmuel came to add that you cannot put your fingernail through the back of its head. Lamute Rosho. What? I mean, Lamute Rosho? That is ridiculous. I mean, there was never, how can anybody think you'd be able to shed from the back of that? What do you mean? You're going to cut through its brain? Pshita, I mean, Mular Poamarachman. That was the thing we pointed out before. That the whole meaning of the Oref, the way we're using it, really means Mular Po. Velor Rosho. You can't possibly do it in the head. Ah, no. Now, don't jump to conclusions. When I say through the head, I am talking about a case of hagroma for ikor. That's what I'm talking about. Meaning, shipui rosha. What we're talking about is diagonal at the bottom of the head as it narrows down towards the base of the spine. Now, there, let's say you start in the wrong place. Hagroma. Oh, but you start on a diagonal because you're at the shipui rosha. So you're facing downward towards the lungs, right? So nakat mishipa rosha, your magrim, until you get to the place of the simanim, exactly the case of igrim shlish, v'shachat shnei shlish, by shchita, you see? So now it makes perfectly good sense, and that has nothing to do with the neck. So the idea over here would be that your magrim v'yozi continue with the hagroma in that diagonal direction, until you've reached underneath, like Ravunam Ravasi. Dom Ravun Ravasi Higrim Shlish, Vishakat Shne Shlish Psula. So therefore, Shmuel is saying, you should know that this din of Agroma would be a psul even for the Malika. Omali Ravacha, Breda Ravel Ravashi. When Rami Bal Yecheskel said, there's no such thing as Ikra Simonim Ba'ov. Well, that only makes sense if you hold that an oath is innately different. Meaning, if you hold like the Mani Omer says, Ein Shchita La'of Minat Torah. So if there's no din of Shchita, it makes sense that we didn't, even though we said Midirai, there's no din of Shchita, Midirabonin there is, but the Rabbonin did not determine this part of the halacha of Ikur Simonim, the bird Simonim already, they're not going to be marked, but on Ikur. But if you would hold aval lamandomer yeshkito of minato, again, this is nuts according to Rashi. It doesn't quite sound. What is that supposed to mean? Well, why in the world would treifus be dependent on the dinner of yeshkito of minatorah? Still a dinner treifus. Okay. By the way, Tosis does ask a fascinating question. If you hold that yeshkito of minatorah, where is there ever such a thing as a nivlas of tahor? You can't make an avela because there's no chiyuv of shchita. So Tosis points out, again, we've spoken about this earlier. That's what the Havamina was. But then Tosis points out that, of course, that's not the case. There is certainly a din of cutting the simanim. The question is, do you need to do shchita or can you just do nechira? And that's what we said before, nechira didei, that shchita is solved. And we say, ain shchita lof min haTorah just simply means what we call a normal shchita, which we were Machayev Midrabbonim. So therefore we were not Machayev. Again, according to the Bahag, this is fine. So once we created the Nefshchita, we said, but if the simon is loose, Lunora. So if you hold Yeshkitov in the Torah, where would you come up with the idea of saying that Ikur is different by a bird than by an animal? Omar Lay. So he said, a brilliant deduction, except that it's backwards. Said Ravashi. If anything, it's the other way around. Because look, you don't create Gezeira Derabbanans in a vacuum. It's absolutely crazy to say Derabbanans say, okay, look, we have a model of Shchita in animals. So let's translate that model and apply it to birds as well. We're talking about Kulin, obviously. Let's translate, say you need to shech birds, right? So you're telling me if they're using a model, they're just going to arbitrarily say, but this part of the model we don't like. And does that make sense? Always when they're abundant and metakein, they're metakein, me'in deoraita. You don't choose something and say, But not that part. We don't feel comfortable with that part in modern terminology. I mean, it's ridiculous. So therefore, I say, if you hold Yesh Chitala of Min HaTorah, and somebody comes along and tells you, look, you should know, there's no Iker. What do I know? If that's the way God said it, that's the way God said it. I mean, Iker l'meimar, tochi agmari, dein Iker. You could say, look, the whole basis of Shechita is really Torah Shebaal Peh. V'zavachta kasher tziviticha. That's where there's Rov Echad Bo'af or Rov Shnayim Beveima, is Rebbe's approach. So, if it's kasher tziviticha, and you're telling me, this is the kasher tziviticha, what am I going to argue about? This is the way it is. So you could say, that's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe. And you know what? Even if you hold like the Mandi Omer, we're going to see that there's a question of whether it's really in terms of Kasher Tziviticha, or it's a Hekesh of Zot Torah HaBeimah VeHa'Of. Whatever is the Chiyah of HaBeimah, that's the Chiyah of HaOf. But even that, I mean, a Hekesh is also from Moshe B'Sinai. You could say that, look, the Torah said specifically there shouldn't be Li'inian Iker. You're going to tell me, Philemon Yoma, that it comes from the Hekesh, Abeima Va'of, and therefore it should be Kebeima. It could be that Moshe was taught, Pagabi Iker, Lola Avi Kebeima. But if you're telling me there's no such thing as Chitel of Min HaTorah, and the whole thing is only a Drabbana Medivre Sovereign. So what did they use as the model, for God's sake? Ve'echag Mirah, they didn't come up with a weird idea of Shechita out of thin air. They're translating a concept of a Behema. So either use the model or don't use the model, but don't tell me there's no Iker. So if anything, if you're saying the most insanely arbitrary thing, there's no Iker Lof Min HaTorah, it's got to be like the Mandi Omer Rosh Bedafka, there is Shechita Lof Min HaTorah. Omer Avina, you know, Ravim Barkisi told me that when Rami Bar Yecheskel said, "Ein ikur simonim ba'ov," he did not mean that there's no din of ikur. He meant there's no din of ikur b'malika. But shechita, the whole thing is a mistake. He never was talking about shechita. He was talking about a specific din. That in the same way the Torah has told us to do malika in ways that are completely possible. So that we press our, there's no din of drisa, we press our fingernail down, and there was avamina, maybe there's no din of agroma. I mean, he came along and said there is a din of agroma. But lamaisa, if there's no problem when it comes to shechita, this whole discussion is sort of moot. Because we're not really basing it on shechita. We're just saying, we certainly know there's a din of malika midiraita, that was ever the discussion. And we're not talking about using anything as a model. We're just saying, when the Torah said that there's a din of Malika, there was no problem of Iker Simani with the Malika. That's all that it said. So what's the problem then? Wait a minute. Didn't Rabbi Yirmiyah just say that what Shmuel was trying to point out was that Kol HaKosher B'Shechita K'neged B'Orev Kosher Malika, HaPosel Posel. The whole idea was that he was utilizing Shechita as the makor for this idea, and now it goes backwards. If you're telling me that something would be puzzle for one, then it's got to be puzzle for the other. You're telling me that Iker Simanim is puzzle for Shechita, but if that's the case, it would have to be puzzle for Malika. So you can't tell me that there's only a din of no Iker Legabe Malika, because that's a contradiction to what Shmuel is saying, isn't it? Yeah, it is. We disagree. Ahu Pliga, obviously that argues. What I'm saying is that this whole discussion is moot because we are really not of the opinion that whatever is kosher for Shechita and only what's kosher for Shechita is kosher for Malika. The point of no Iker is a special halacha for Malika that does not apply to Shechita. Omra Ze'iri, you should know that if a mafreket is broken and rov basar ima, then we're not talking about tarfus anymore. We're talking about a real nevela. In other words, there's such a thing as instant death. Here we're talking about breaking the neck, not just the bone, but also tearing the muscles at the same time. Rov basar ima. So rov of the basar that is there, surrounding the entire area, we're not talking about the skin, but that basar on the mafreket itself, in the back of the neck, you're not dealing with a trefa. You're dealing with an avela. And at that point, it is metame. We're not forget about birds. Obviously, a bird, if the bird is kosher, the tuma only comes at the time that it's swallowed. That's nivlat of tahar. But this is really an avela. On Rav Chista, you know, I think we could prove that actually for the Mishnah, because it says, Avana Nami Tanina, Molak Bisakin, if somebody uses a knife to do Malika, if you use a knife to do Malika, so then, by definition, you're going to be cutting through the entire spine, spinal cord, and muscle by the time you get to the simanim. And it says over there, it's Matame Begadim Abet Ablia. Now, why would it be Matame Begadim Abet Ablia? If it's, this bird is only a trefa, okay, so then the Malika, at this point, is the equivalent of Shechita. So then, if that's the case, Tani La Sakin, La Tarami De Nevela. You're using a Sakin. So basically, if you shecht with a Sakin, then the Sakin removes the din of Tumas Nevelas. Unless, of course, the animal was dead before you cut the simonim. But if there was only a hole, or there was damage to the spinal cord, it's a trefa, not an avela. A trefa that is shechted is a trefa that is not ever going to be an avela. You can't eat it, but it'll never be metame. Since the Mishnah asserts that it is metame begadama betablia, which means that anything that you are wearing at the moment that you swallow this is tame, it does not mean that after that, if you're wearing clothes, they'll become tummy. It just means that the chumrah of the tuma is that you and anything that you're wearing become tummy. Bishas swallowing it. So obviously it must have been a nevela. Because if not, tenila sakin, mitarami de nevela. In this case, the sakin is a shrita. No, not true. Amre, hata mishum dolav shrita iklau. You never did a shrita. Why not? You said you took a knife and did Malika from the back. Why isn't that a shechita from the back of the neck? Rav Huna says, I'll tell you why. Bideshu machalid. That's not a shechita because by definition it's chalada. Now why is it chalada? Now we have a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns it's chalada because when the knife cuts through the spine, the spine does not widen. It's not like a base shechita where as you cut, the knife is exposed in the cutting because the veshet or the kind of fall apart and pull apart because they're under pressure holding them together. The moment that you cut, boom, it opens up. And therefore the knife is never hidden. But if you're cutting through bone and spinal cord, the knife is covered with bone. The bone doesn't flip open. And therefore, that itself is called chalada. Tosis has a problem with that, simply because who says that the cutting point of the knife is the area that is chalada? I mean, what if it's a long knife? So wouldn't that be a very visible knife? I mean, you're going to call that kechulda adarabi kreabatim, that it's a, what is it about it that it's chalada? Therefore, Tosis learns chalada, by definition, means you come at a simen from behind. So if you stick the knife in between the two simenim, that's the classic case of chalada. So that means that you're not coming in the normal way at the simen. It has nothing to do with it being covered specifically. At least according to Zman Yoma, according to Tosis, this gufa will be the machlokas between Ravuna and Rava in this instance. Okay, this is a very important distinction. I mean, if you want to talk about chalada, perhaps this is the way Rashi says you might be talking about a very thin knife, maybe, that gets covered in the spinal cord, spinal column. Okay. In any event, this is an important nekuda for the dinim of chalada later. So, I say, says Rav Huna, the problem over here is chalada. If you do chalada, you never did shechita. So how's it going to be metayer midei nevela? Therefore, Maybe it is only a trefa. Maybe it's not an avela, but you never shechted. How do you show me from this that no, it was definitely an avela? Rav Amar, I'll tell you why it's not a shechita. Because if it says you shechted with a knife, it means you didn't move the knife back and forth. It means you, if you did malika with a knife, it means you didn't do shechita with a knife. You did malika with a knife. What defines the difference between shechita and malika? Mr. President, pressing down. You never saw that in the Shlach Tzeis in Middleborough. They never did malika there. No malika. Okay, so if you got to press down, obviously you never did a shechita. You did a drisa. What's the difference if you did it with a knife? That's the problem. So why didn't the one, I mean, that's an obvious problem. When you have to get into the complexities of Chaladah, what did Rav Huna again saying the obvious approach is that you didn't even move the knife back and forth. How could it be a shechita? My time alone of Deshu Dores. That's the point. Because he holds you can do Malika by being Melech Humevi. Which is exactly what we said before as a machloket. Can you be Melech Humevi by Malika, or is Kachi Mitzvata and only Kachi Mitzvata? To be Dores Vioret, basically, pressed down. If he holds that Malika itself can be done by moving your fingernail back and forth, so when it says you use the knife, it probably doesn't mean you press down, it means you move the knife back and forth. So then that's the problem. No, there's got to be another problem. The problem would be that you were machlid. And what's wrong with saying you were machlid? Why does he have to commit himself? Ma'adiyah Rebneshu Dores. I mean, couldn't you say Mipneshu Machlid? Amar Lecha, that's not called Chalada, says Rava. Because the word Chalada, what do you think the word Chalada means? A weird word. What does Chalada mean? It means the same word that you would use for Chulda. Kechulda, or Yoshve Chalet, those who dwell in the darkness, those who dwell in holes. So Kechulda Adara Biikre Abatim, what does that mean? I mean, you have an animal that hides out underneath the house. It's like showing its tail. I guarantee you it ain't showing its tail. This thing is not covered. That thing is completely covered. This isn't covered. That's Dafka de Mechas, Yachal Magalia. I see the knife going in. How do you call that Chalada? Oh, my Rava, look, I'll tell you, if there's any problem with this sugya of Ziri, in which he's claiming Nishpa Mafrek at Rov Basarima, there is a problem. I mean, this is the problem. This is the thing you have to deal with. Don't look around for all these other subsidiary points. The question is, what the heck is the meaning of doing a malika to a dead bird? That's the question. I mean, if you'll tell me it's a trefa, fine. If you do shechita, every shechita is also a trefa. By the time you've cut through the veshet to rove, you've already turned it to a trefa because you made a hole in it. I mean, gosh, Zeno would have had a lot of fun with this one. So every shechita is always a trefa, so it's always not kosher. I mean, but that's the point. The Torah says, do shechita in this way. So as long as it's one long act, it's not a problem of trefa. But I mean, to sit and cut at a dead piece of meat, that's ridiculous. So how could he possibly say that if you put your fingernail through the bird's neck, then it's dead? By the time you get to the simon, v'chimeta omedo malek, you're going to be doing malik on a dead bird? Omale abaye, I don't get it. If that's your problem, v'chimeta omedo malek, so v'tikshu lecha olata of the boy shnei simanim. Why isn't it just this weird to you that the Torah would have said that even though when it comes to the chatas v'lo yabdil, and you only shecht one simon, but when it comes to the Ola, there you have to shecht two simonim. Why are you shechting two simonim? After you cut through the first simon, the bird is already shchuta. If it's shchuta, I think that we can agree that there's no point in doing a further shchita. So v'chimeta, omedu molek, why are you continuing to do this continued shchita, meaning malika, of course? Omalei, maybe that has nothing to do with the malika. Maybe I'm cutting through the other simen. Hatam kidela kayemba mitzvat havdalah. The same way that there's a mitzvah to do the havdalah Now, according to Rambam, this works out great, because according to Rambam, there's a mitzvah of Dalek to actually sever the head from the body. So therefore, in the same way there is a mitzvah of Dalek, there's a mitzvah of Havdalat HaSimen, not as part of a Malika, you see. But in any event, however we learn, maybe this is the mitzvah of Havdalah, it's the way most people learn, so that the Torah wants the functional decapitation, so that both Simanim are cut, not as part of the Heter, but as a new din of Havdalah. So, Ihachi or Nami, why don't I also cut through the skin? Because then I could tell you that doesn't mean anything. I mean, kol ma'akev b'shchita, ma'akev b'avdala, kol she'ena ma'akev b'shchita, ena ma'akev b'avdala. Maybe the word avdala means complete functional disruption. So if it isn't essential to the shchita, then it's not. There's no point in calling it part of the avdala. Oh yeah? And what about, according to Rabbanan, I mean, it is a machlokes in general, whether you need kol Hasiman or Miyat Hasiman, but certainly when it comes to Shkita, everybody agrees Ruba Shachat Kamo. And yet, according to the Rabbanan, Miyat Simanim is absolutely essential, meaning you have to cut through the entire thing, the Malika. And that's not Ma'akev for Shkita, it's not essential for Shkita. Why is it Ma'akev Bavdala? Okay, fine, I change that, all right? I don't mean Kol Shema Akev B'Shkita, I mean Kol She Yeshno B'Shkita. Those things that are the simanim are part of Shkita. So the simanim are part of Avdala. But kosher eino b'shkita, well, certainly the skin is not part of Shkita. You can have a perfectly kosher Shkita removing the skin from the neck a year before. So kosher eino b'shkita, eino b'avdala. So I'm not troubled by the problem of Ola Sa'of and why I cut two simanim. But mikomakam kash, I'm still very troubled by the fact that I do Havdalah to a completely dead bird before I get to the first simon. That's a problem. Omar, Rava, look, the only way out of this, says Rava, is Ema. When you say over the dinim of how to do a malika, you have to say it like this. V'cheinu oseh, choteh shidro mafreket, below rov basar. He cuts through the spine and the neck bone, but he does not cut the muscle. And therefore, he never gets into the problem of Zairi, because it's not an Avela. It's only a Trefa. And every Shkita is a Trefa. And therefore, that really doesn't bother me so much. Amrei b'nei Rebbe Chiya. Mitzvat melika machzir sevanim l'achorei ha'oref u'molei. Kikidei Amrei. All they need to say is af machzir. V'ikidei Amrei machzir dafka. But it's mistav rekomand yomer af machzir. Mimai. Miniktoni asher chet min ha'oref shkidatot psula. Ha'molei min ha'oref melikatot shira. If you're going to tell me that the only way to do melika is be machzir simonim sed ha'mayari molei. Afilo shel chet na'am. It could be from the back of the neck. Ela lav shmamina af marzir, and the Mishnah was contrasting the Malika b'shchita. Was talking about obviously where you didn't. You did a normal Malika, but lo ahadim. Omer Reb Yonai, well, yekablu arovina tshuvatan. Diktani nimtze kosher b'shchita possible Malika. Kosher b'malika possible b'shchita. I ask you, lamute mai. Lav lamute marzir simanim la'achorei ha'orev delo. QED. Omer Rabba Baruch Hanan, no. Maybe it's coming from my chain with Zipporin. Oh, come on, for change with Zippor. Maybe it's Katanilu. Elom Rabbi Yirmeh, maybe it's Lamute Moloch, maybe. But you need Laman Yirmeh Moloch, maybe Memlika Pasul. What about Laman Yirmeh Kasher Michael Amema? Well, it just so happens that the name Rabbi Chiyah Tzavr Laman Yirmeh Moloch, maybe Memlika Pasul. You have a problem with that? Omer of Kahana, Mitzvat Melika Kotzeitz V'Yored V'Zohi Mitzvata. It's Sober above in Lamema. Kotzeitz V'Yored only. But Moloch, maybe Lo. Amalei Rabbi Yirmeh, not necessarily. Zoi mitzvata could mean and koshik ein molechu maybe b'malika kosher. When you say zoi mitzvata, what you're saying is this too is part of the mitzvah malika. Amazing, isn't it? Av zoi mitzvata. Amalei Rabbi Yirmeh Amar Shmuel kol hakasher b'shchita kenegdo ba'orev kosher b'malika, which obviously can't be restating the Mishnah's placement issues. So what you've got to be saying is there's something that I know given for shchita that is possible malika that we didn't figure out before. Now, what is that? Lamuti mai. I mean, ilim lamuti ikur simanim. No, because tani rami bar yecheskel, there's no ikur simanim at all by ofot, even for shchita. And therefore, it can't be that Shmuel was telling me something about the ikur that was possible for the shechita would be possible for Malika, because it isn't. Amar Rav Papa, well, it's a mutei rosho. Rosho? That's a joke. Pshita mimular po amar achman avalo rosho. Well, when I say rosho, what I'm talking about is shipui rosho. Meaning, kigon denakat mi shipui rosho, at a diagonal. Vihigrim viazal adamati tatoi. And this is exactly the case that we had by shechita. Kerevunam ravasi, dam ravunam ravasi, higrim shlish, v'shachat shnei shlish, psula. Amal ravach barin ravul ravashi. Well, you know, I just think that hadatani rami by yecheskel, ein yikr simani ba'ov, it's gotta be, that is so outrageous. It only works out, laman yomer ein shchit lofim na Torah. But I mean, it's crazy to say that if you hold the ein shchit lofim na Torah, that there's no ikr. I mean, why would it be a different shchita? There clearly is ikr. Amal, well, if anything, it's the exact opposite. You could say that for some crazy reason, which we don't know, but it's like a gzeirat hakatuv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, look, this is the way kasher tziviticha, here's what I'm being mitzav you, ein ikur. And you know what, even according to my normal, it's a hekesh, zot torat ha-be'imava ov. You could also say that part of that hekesh was given over the information. Is that filamad yomer kibeima? But linini kur lo lave kibeima. Fine, but according to Mad Yomer, in Shkita lofin haTorah, where did they get it from? B'divrei Sofrim. Where did they get it from? Meicha gemira lo mibeima. Where they're going to arbitrarily throw out ikur simanim? That's absurd. Kula milta kibeima. Amar Ravina, Amar li Rav and Bar Kisi. Hadatani Rami bar Yecheskel in ikur simanim ba'av. He was only referring to Malika, actually, but b'Shkita there is ikur. What? But all along, I mean, wasn't that the point of Shmuel? I'm Reb Yirmi, I'm a Shmuel, Kala Kasha B'Shkita, Genegi Barav Kasha Malika, Apostle, Apostle, and that was what we were learning out. No, no, Ahub Liga. That's indeed clearly arguing. If you hold it's Apostle for one, then it would have to be Apostle for the other. There's no way that it could be only Apostle B'Shkita. I'm Reb Ziri. You should know that in general, forget about birds, in general, Nishma Mafreket, Rov Basarima, you're talking about an avail. Omer of Chista Afana Namitanina. Malak Besakim Metame Begadama Beta Bliya. Why? I mean, Iyam Betrefa. Why in the world would it be Metame Begadama Beta Bliya? This bird was basically shechted. It's just that it's a trefa. It was shechted. Okay, so what's the din? Malikata Zoishkitata. At least Anele Sakin. Leta Aramide Nevela. No, there was no shkita. Where's the shkita? Hatamishum Dalav Shkita Ikla. What makes you say that? It says with a sakin. Well, Ravuna says because if you're going to cut from the back of the neck, you're always going to be machlik by definition. Rava says if you're going to be doing a malika, you're always going to be dores by definition. So my time dores. Because he says, what makes you think you were dores by definition? If a molech or maybe is kosher for malika, so then you were molech or maybe you're sakin. So there's got to be another problem. Why doesn't he want to say also it's the problem of chalada? What do you think chalada means? Chalada yechidami. Kechulda, hadara b'ikarei abatim. That means by definition it's completely covered. It's b'chasa. Hachal megalia. Omar Rava ikashali, hakashali. What the heck would Ziri say about Malik of a bird? V'chimeta omeidu molek, by the time you get to the simonim, there's basically a dead bird in your hand. Omalei abaye. So if that's the case, you could always ask, v'tik shelecha, olata of. By an olata of, you require to simanim, right? Okay. V'chimeta omedu molek. I mean, what are you doing over there to cut through a bird that has already been completely yotza nishmata after you cut through the first simen? That's it. The bird is now maluk. So what am I doing the other simen for? If I know that I can do this to a chatas, why can't I do it to an Ola? So V'chimeitom, you have the same question. V'chimeitom on a Malik? No, that could be, maybe it's not really Alsta Din of Malika. Maybe over there, it's Kedela Kayemba Mitzvat Havdalah. If it's to do Mitzvat Havdalah, so then you could do, you'd have to cut through the skin. Yachi or Nami. No, 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 no. The Mitzvah Havdalah is focused on things that are essential for Shechita. So kolam ha'akev v'shkita, me'akev v'abdallah. But, I mean, if anything that isn't essential for shkita, certainly, if an animal had its entire skin removed from around its neck, is that a problem? No. You look perfectly kosher shchita for such a thing. You don't need skin for shchita. So why would you need skin for the mitzvah of avvela? Again, you see from here, I smach to the Rambam, that it really means to cut to the entire head. The only thing that we're talking about is that ma'akiv is the or. V'amiyot simanim l'rabanan. D'lo ma'akve b'shchita. U'ma'akve ba'avdala. You're telling me only essentials. According to Rabbanan, Ragan, Rabbalaz, Rab Shimon, you have over here the little bit of the simen that's left is not necessary for shchita, because Rabbi Shalakit Kabbalah. But you do need to check through the entire simen. I mean, molek, the entire simen in order to be mavdil. That can't be that only essentials. Okay, fine. Not essentials. Elayma koshi yesh no b'shchita, yesh no b'avdala. Koshi eno b'shchita, eno avdala. Fine. That explains why we don't ask akasha from olata of. But we still have the problem of malika. Mekom mekom kasha. What is the purpose of cutting through the first simen? Forget about the second simen. What's the purpose of cutting through the first simen of a dead bird? Oma rova ema v'chenu oseh. Chotech shiro mafreket v'lo rov basar. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Okay, we're holding today. For some reason, I put my marker ahead. How do you like that? I thought we were doing Kav Gimel today. Mm-hmm. All right. So Lemaisa, we're holding on. Daf Yud Tes on the base because I let you off. That's what happened. I let you off earlier. Pure Racham. Fine. So yesterday we did our Mishnah. Right. And the Mishnah contrasted the various aspects of Shechita with Malika. And Beikar said, Kol HaKosh B'Shechita is possible with Malika, and HaKosh B'Malika is possible with Shechita. And this was in reference specifically, in the Mishnah, it was in reference to the location. So we said that the Mul HaOref, which in modern language, is called Oref Stam. But in the Torah, Mul HaOref means the entire back of the neck. The Oref itself is essentially the nape of the neck. And that is not kosher. And the Mokom, connected that Mokom, Tzahor, is where it is kosher. That's where we're holding. Now, what wasn't clear all along in this discussion was Lagabi, the mitzvah of Malika, it's all very nice to talk about where it is that you'll do the Malika. But what about what you do in a course of Malika? We haven't really discussed what you do in a course of Malika. In other words, we didn't discuss whether the movement would be the same, whether the dinim are the same, lagabe, shihia, hagrama, ikur, drisa. We don't know about that. Furthermore, even when it comes to determining the place, there's two ways of doing Malika from the tzava, from the oref. You can have the bird's head kitsurata, which is, we know how we do it. We pull the bird's head across and we hold it down while using the thumb to do malika. However, I mean, it doesn't say anywhere that that's necessarily the only way to do it. Suppose someone would twist the simonim of the bird across the back and shech the simonim so that you don't go through the spine to get the simanim. You cut the simanim, but the simanim would be twisted around towards the back of the neck. What would be the din over there? Says the Gemara today, Amri b'nei Rebbe Chiya, Rebbe Chiya's children, and these were, we know this is Rebbe Yehuda and Chizkiya, were called b'nei Rebbe Chiya. And they were child prodigies, and they used to say all kinds of halachas at a young age. So they said, mitzvahs malika machzir simonim la'achorei ha'oref u'mayel. The mitzvah of malika is to twist the simonim to the back of the neck and to be molek, in which case you're cutting the simonim and not initially cutting to the mafrekes. Now, this halacha
of course, raises all kinds of issues which we're going to get to later today. And this is the first intimation we have of the problem. The problem being is that if you cut directly through the spinal column, the chorah, what you've done is, you've murdered this bird. Now the question is, what the heck is the point of anything else that you do? Seems to be just, you know, you might as well be cutting meat. There's Vishleiman and Behema, where you shaft. The act of shechita is essentially the act that takes away the neshama of the bird, of the animal. Or of the bird, if you're cutting from the front. But if you go through the back, what's the point of the simanim b'chlal? You've already killed the bird by severing its head. Basically, its neck is severed. Its brain is detached.
With Malika, do you do that? You don't hit the spine at all?
You do.
Oh, that's a special question.
Well, that's l'chora. Now, here it comes along for the first time. This is the first time that we start thinking about this. B'nai Rebbe Chiya say, well, now, wait a minute. The mitzvah of Malika is actually not to go through the spine, not to start going through the spine. You twist the simonim around, cut through the simonim, and only then would you go through the spine if you continue to cut. So this is what I'm saying. This already begins, and this is where we're going to get to, at the end of the sugya today. So I'm just trying to show the process, because the Gemara gradually introduces this idea. Okay, so now there's two ways of understanding this. Some understand the statement of B'nai Rebbe Chiya to mean that you could also be yotze the mitzvah of Malika by being Magzir Simonim, but that's not the way you have to. But there are others who hold that if you do it by cutting first through the spine, it's a pasul Malika. You must first cut the Simonim, is what they're saying. It's a tremendous finish. Now, from our sugya, it seems clear that the Mandiyomar, who understood the statement of Nei Rebbe Chiya to mean you can also be Yotze Malika by twisting the simonim to the back, that in fact is the way to understand it, but not that you can only be Yotze Malika this way, Mamai. Why do I say that? Because Miliktani Hashochet min ha'orev shechitato psula hamolek min ha'orev melekato kshira. Here it's saying that doing shechita from the neck to shechita is from the back of the neck, the orev. The shechita is possible. Why is that true? If I take the simonim and I twist them around the back of the neck, what's wrong with doing shechita? I can do shechita wherever I want. The important thing is that I should be cutting the simonim, so who cares? So obviously the Mishnah can't be based on the assumption that Malika is done bedavka by twisting simonim to the back, because then it isn't true to say what's kosher of Malika is possible with shechita, because that would be kosher with shechita.
Is that by twisting the whole head around the back also, or just the
simanim
itself and pulling them around the back?
If you twist the whole head around the back, then you're not cutting any
mulora.
Well, what would be the point of twisting?
I don't understand the actual ability
to do it. I don't know. They were very wise. So I can't tell. Huh? Just the simanim. You're still cutting any mulora. Yeah. So now, if you're going to tell me that the meaning of B'nai Rebbe Chiya is only twisting the simonim around the back, then the shechita could also be done that way. Then the whole Mishnah falls apart, because the Mishnah says whatever is kosher malika is possible shechita. But if that's what you're referring to when you're talking about mimul aref, with the simonim facing upwards above the spine, there's nothing inherently wrong with doing shechita that way either. Therefore, the Mishnah disallows the approach of the Mandiyam, who's trying to say that the only way to do malika is to twist simonim around the back. So let's see that inside. Why do I say that? Because since the Mishnah says, he's going to try to tell me that only a Machzir Simoni is going to be kosher l'malik. Why does the Mishnah say that Molek is unique in being klatzidu shochet nami? Even shochet would be kosher. As long as I'm coming to the Simoni, and I'm not going to the mafrekas. Elalav shmamina af machzir. Therefore, the meaning of B'nai Rebbe Chiya must have been that if you want to do malika by being machzir simonim, you can. But that's not the norm. And the Mishnah is talking about B'nai Yechzir. The Mishnah is talking about the norm. So it's saying, the norm, when you do malika, if you would do shechita, the way you do malika, the place where you do the malika, without machzir simonim, in other words, the shechita would be trade. Would be Nevela, which is in fact a din. Omer Yana. Says Rabbi Yana, Yekablu harovin neteshuvatam. Let these upstarts get their response. Tiktoni. Nimtze karsha b'shchita posbumali. Karshbumali, kaposa b'shchita. I ask and challenge these upstarts. Pnei Rabbi Chiya. Rovin means the kids. Let's teach these kids a lesson. Coming up with such a smart chiddush. Because why does the Mishnah then review, and so you find that whatever is kosher b'shchita is posel b'malika, whatever is kosher b'malika, posel b'shchita, you said that. What are you adding with the klal? You spoke about the dinim of the place where you do the shchita and you do the malika. You're clearly coming to address something new. Tell me what that new thing is. The mute mind. What would be posel b'shchita? Lav l'mute ma'aseh simonim la'achorei ha'oreh. Must be coming to tell me that a kosher, the kosher b'shchita, which would allow Mazir Simon and Lachlore Yorav Teshachta, would in fact be possible. L'malika, that's what it's coming to tell me. If I could do shchita this way, then I cannot do malika this way. Is that what it's saying? And according to B'nai Rabbi Chiya, that isn't true. The Mishnah was talking about B'dolo Ahad. But if now we're saying, no, the Mishnah knew somebody may try to say that, and therefore repeated the klal, nimtzan, so you see, then it would be talking about even a case where you were Mahadev the Simon. And it's come to tell you, since that would be kosher b'shchita, and now that shchita is kosher, means that the malika would be possible. Omar Rabba Bar Barchana, look, that's not what it's coming to tell me. Coming to tell me lemeute shein v'tziporen, but it's coming is not for the first part of the kosher b'shchita pasul b'malika. It's coming because of the second part. The kosher b'malika is pasul b'shchita. Can you use your fingernail for malika? Absolutely, you have to use your fingernail for malika. Can you use that fingernail for shchita? No. That's what it's coming to address. Since by definition, it's addressing a fingernail. The same thing would be true about a shein that is mechubar, of course, talking about. Now, wait a second. That's a beferish mishnah. A shein v'tzipor medik to understand. We need a mishnah here to tell me again the mishnah that says chutz mimago kotzer v'amagera v'ashinayim v'tziporen. We said over there tziporen is possible. The shinayim, okay, it's two teeth. It's both because it's a gap. So there's a chagira. But the case of the tziporin, if you recall, we said, what's the psula of a tziporin? And we said, what's possible about a tziporin is a tziporin mechuber. If that's true, then I know a single chain that's mechuber is possible. So why do I need this mission to repeat the mission? Obviously, it's coming to tell me something new. What new thing is it coming to tell me? That a kosher shchita that can be done by achzorat ha-simanim li'achorei ha'orev is not considered anymore the type of neck on which you can do a malika. Because the simanim are going to be hit before the masechet. So it seems like B'nai Rabbi Chiya had been blown out of the water. No. Now, Amar Rabbi Yirmi, I'll give you a different answer. It's the Me'ute Molich Umevi. It means that you cannot do Malika by moving your fingernail back and forth as if it were a knife. You can only do Malika by pressing straight down. So this malika is not only in the place which is opposite the place of shchita, it's the type of action which is kulo the opposite of shchita. If done in the front, this would have been an act of drisa, not an act of shchita. It's not only a difference of place. Now, the problem is that is a machlokus later on. Can you move your nail back and forth when you're doing malika as if it were a shchita? So says the Gemara, you could say what Rabbi Yirmiyah said, that it's coming to tell you that Molech Umevi is not kosher b'malika, if that's how you hold. If you hold that it's indeed that's a psul, then you can learn that that's what the Mishnah is coming to add, and then you can't prove that the Rovin are wrong. If you hold that Molech Umevi b'malika is kosher, so you can't say the Mishnah is coming to tell me it's not kosher. So what is the Mishnah coming to add? The only case it's coming to add is Hachzarat Simanim La'Achorei Ha'orev. And that would be saying that is Pasul Malika, but B'nai Rabbi Chiya were saying that it's Kosher Malika. So how would they explain the Mishnah if that's what you hold? Well, they wouldn't. Works out very well, since they hold like the Bandiyama, who says that Malika is fossil if you move your fingernail back and forth. The Mishnah has now come to say, so you see, what's partial is street is fossil Malika. That is moving your nail back and forth. But as far as the case of the place on the neck, which is Karshma Shkita, Fasal Malika, that is certainly not coming to add Akzarat Simani. If you pull the Simani to the back, then there's no Pagam in doing a Malika from the Oref. It's perfectly okay, because it's still Mimul Arpo. Are we all right with this, or are we getting somehow sidetracked? Tired.
But there's no halakha of
We haven't finished. We're going to get into this.
Would it more like a puncture?
Would be a puncture.
It is a puncture.
Yeah. Omer of Kahana, getting back to this issue, mitzvah Malika kotzeitz v'yored. The mitzvah of Malika is to go straight down, not to move back and forth. I mean, v'zui mitzvata. And that's the way to do it. Sof Rav Avi Lameimar. So Rav Avi, hearing that statement from Rav Kahana, assumed that that means kotzeitz v'yored in. This is the only way to do it. You must go straight down. But molech may be low. You certainly can't move your finger back and forth. Amalei Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah said, why would you assume that that's the meaning? On the contrary, kosher came to molech may be b'malika kosher. Look, the Torah has given us certain ideas in the context of Shechita. Those ideas include the notion that simonim are somehow unique in being matir, something, correct? So in the same way we understand there's something unique about simonim by Malika, there's no reason for us to change the dinim of Malika and Shechita unless we're told to, the Feirish. So the Torah says you need to use gufa shokoi, you need to use the fingernail. Fine, we'll use a fingernail. But how shall I move that fingernail? The closer it is to Shechita, the more likely it is to be kosher, no? But why would you reach a conclusion, let's make it the opposite? You have to prove to me first that the opposite itself is kosher, not that only the opposite is kosher. So therefore, I say kosher king, the molech b'malika, but maybe the molech kosher. It's even better if you move your fingernail. When Rav Kahana was saying zohi mitzvata, he may simply have meant ema, zohi mitzvah, that is also the mitzvah. Who's to say that this is only the mitzvah? Nobody proved that such was the case. Show me a marker for that. Om Rav Yirmi Om HaShmua, kol ha-kosher b'shchita kenegdo ba'or of kosher v'malika. Now, what exactly Shmuel means doesn't seem to be clear at all. Shmuel was saying, whatever is kosher, now clearly Shmuel is not talking about the way in which you do things, because then, I mean, right away, we could say, well, what about molech umevi? It means necessarily to do it the same way if you hold molech umevi b'malika is possible. So then this statement is already not true. How about the din let's say, Akira, and so on? And there's a lot of things that I could point out that are different. How about the fact that you need to use a knife for Shechita and you can only use a fingernail for Malika? So, how about the fact that Stam, a Dabra Mechuber, is kosher for Malika, and it's possible for Shmuel? All that Shmuel is talking about is the situation of the place where you do it.
And,
yeah. How else would you understand? Kenego bar of kosher b'malika.
This is a positive statement. I don't understand the negative.
How possible b'shchita? Possible b'malika. The implication being that this is what limits you. Anything possible for shchita would be possible b'malika, meaning in terms of place. So now, what are we talking about? What defines the neck, which can be shechted, but which cannot be molukt, or which can be molukt but not be shechted? What would that mean? I mean, if you're talking about equusy money, the question is like this. A neck which doesn't have simonim that are mechuborim to the lechi, and that's called equusy money, correct? The place in which the veshet and the karnet are normally attached with connective tissue, it's been separated from the bone structure of the skull and the jaw. So that's equal. So now the shaila is, that changes already the type of neck that I'm dealing with. That's not an action. That's the place. I'm going to be shechting where simonim are not mechuborim. So there what you will be telling me is that when it comes to malika, we don't really care if the simonim are akurim. When it comes to shechita, we do care. And that would be saying a neck without simonim mechuborim is kosher malika, but pasul b'shechita. Now that would be what Shmuel would be adding. The problem is that Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel ein ikur simanim ba'oth. Rami Bar Yecheskel says there is no such concept of ikur simanim when it comes to an oath. The chlal. So what are we talking about? Shechita. What are we talking about? Malika. There's no difference between them because the idea of ikur simanim doesn't apply the chlal. Amrif Papa. You know what Shmuel was talking about? Shmuel was talking about the place, indeed the place. And it's coming to tell me something that isn't kosher b'shchita, then kenegda wouldn't be kosher b'malika. So in other words, the same thing would be true in the opposite direction. L'mute rosho, all that Shmuel is trying to say is that the head of the animal is not a makom that's kosher for the malika, because you can't check in the face. Rosha, I understand. Fresh a pasuk. How could I think that the head would be kosher when the Torah says mimul orpo amar achbana? Now, by no possible extension of meaning, could mul orpo mean rosho? Ah, now you missed my point. When I'm talking about rosho, I mean shipui rosho, the nape of the neck. Now, we've already said, okay, the nape of the neck is not mimul arpo. The nape of the neck is arpo. And only mimul arpo in the tzavar, what we call the tzavar, would be kosher. However, the case over here is where we're contrasting something in shechita to something in malika, namely, you start your malika in the nape of the neck. Your fingernail continues to go down along that angle. By the time it hits the simonim, the place where the simonim are cut is keneged the tzavar, meaning keneged the mula oref, because you're going down at an angle, starting on top, which in shechita would be the equivalent of a hagrama, correct? Mm-hmm. But you started with a hagrama, but by the time you got to the shechita, in this case by the time you got to the malika, you got now to the place, higrim va'azal ad demota tatoi, you went down now beneath the skin of the back of the neck, the mul oref. And what it's coming to tell me is, k'ravuna amravasi, whatever is possible in one is possible in the other means that in the same way that I know, just as Ravuna amravasi said yesterday, remember, this is the first Ravuna, not Ravuna Amarav, the Ravuna Amaravasi, who was talking about the point of first being Magrim Shlish, and then being Shofet Shvei Shlish. But the point that he made was, since at the time that you get to the Siman, you don't have Rov B'Shchita, even though you have the act of cutting the Siman B'Shchita. In the opposite case, where you did a Malika, you start the Malika in the nape of the neck, have your fingernail going down towards the lower part of the neck, hit the simen at the time that your hand, indeed, your nail is now beneath the back of the neck, the mulorech, just like over there, Ravuna Amaravasi said, he grim shlish v'shakat shnei shlish psula, here too, he's saying, paso b'shvita, paso b'malika, and a hagaroma on that level is not a kosher act of malika, despite the fact that you did the actual malika sasimanim correctly.
What is the minimal distance you have to go with malika in order for it to be kosher?
Distance.
Yeah.
It's not a function of distance, it's a function of cutting the simonim.
What simonim, that's my question, what simonim have to be cut from the back? Is it just
same simonim.
You have to go through both the kana and the veshet?
Like a bird. Kana or veshet.
Kana, okay. Kana or veshet, yeah. In the back. Thank you.
Amalei Rav Acha ben Rav LeRav Ashi. You know, this business about any equus money both, that's not so perfect in equus money both. That only makes sense for Amra Lamandiyama in Shritalof Natar. If you hold that there's really, we'll see later on, there's a machlokas whether an oath requires shrita minatara.
It's not any different than an oath and the birds.
An oath is a bird.
As opposed to a chicken, you mean?
All oflot have the same din. There's no difference.
Wait, chickens you do b'malika or you do b'shrita?
Shrita, shrita, we're talking about all birds.
Off they talk here, off they mean it's a bird. They don't mean it's a chicken.
No, we mean okay, you're a chicken. A chicken. We're talking about shrita, not malika.
I'm talking about general.
Remember, let's go back. I see what happened here. I see. The Shmuel was saying whatever is possible, the Malika, the Shrita is possible, the Malika. So we thought it's a given that a psul in Shrita of a bird includes Igor Simani, because that's one of the things that possibles by a behemoth. So we said the finish of the year is that even though Malika is done in a completely different way than Shrita, but if the Simani Marakurim, that's what it's coming to tell me, Shmuel. As the Gemara, but Rami Bar Yochai said, when it comes to Shechita Tzahov, there's no Ikur Simoni. So what would he be saying about Malika connected Shechita? There is no Ikur Simoni by Shechita that would pass in the Malika. But what he's referring to is any bird. In other words, whatever bird, we're not talking about the Kachim over here. Any bird has the same dinner of Shechita. And there's no problem of Ikur Simoni. By the way, you have to remember, and this is one of the serious problem areas in the sugya, and I don't want to take you off the road too much. You shouldn't lose your concentration of where we're at. But remember, there's a major machlokas that we had earlier between the Bahag and Rashi about Tosfos was following the Bahag Shita about what ikur means. And so, if ikur, in this case, ikur simani, we're not talking about ikur b'shas b'shita, ikur simani. So ikur simanim, according to Rashi, is generally a trait. And it's the same as if you had a hole going through the siman. So if you had a hole in the veshet, it's no difference if that hole is at the top of the veshet, where it's attached to the lechi, attached to the jaw. So then the whole sugya seems to fall apart. As Tosis points out, if according to Rashi, ikur simanim is treifa, so then I don't understand. Of course it passes from Malika. I mean, who... everybody is motivated that a malika of a trefa is possible. So the sugya doesn't even make any sense. It's got to be something that we're adding, and certainly that was a dover parshat, right? Furthermore, I mean, the other issue is, that would imply that we're making a difference between one type of trefa and another type of trefa. If you hold also that according to Rashi, that ikur is a pagam, the act of ikur that's a pagam in the act of shechita is to be ikur simani. I want to point out that what you're going to have to say is that even though normally ikur is a treifa, and if I would sheft now a siman that is akur, I would be shefting a treifa and it would not be an avela. But if I sheft with ikur, I make it an avela. That's okay. Because Rashi is saying that ikur is a pagam in shechita. So if I kill as I do an akira, it's not called the shechita of a trefa. It's called murder. And it's an avela.
If your shechita causes the
akira, if the shechita, just like the shechita, if I did a shehiya, it would be an act of nevelus. If as I do the shechita, I cause an akira, it's a nevelus. It's not being shechit. That's a completely different way of looking at it. If you also, according to the Bahag, a simonim that are akurim are not trefas. They're not the son that if I go shech, I'm going to be shechting a trefa. So therefore, according... Correct. Okay, so therefore it's coming over here. Lebute ikur simonim. It would not be talking about where it was ikur. It would be talking about to do the act of ikur simonim. And it would be saying shechita that is done through ikur, not where the simonim are akurim. You see, Rashi doesn't like that bichlal. Even if you would believe that we're talking about ikur simonim in this case, simply because, as he pointed out earlier, Shmuel was not talking about the act of shechita; he was talking about the place of shechita. Otherwise, his whole statement doesn't make any sense. We're certainly not going to say, whatever is possible of Malika is possible of Shkita. I don't understand. Whatever is possible of Shkita, in other words, a fingernail is possible for Shkita, but therefore it's possible for Malika. I mean, it's nonsensical, the statement that he would be making. He's only talking about the place. So simonim that are akurim can be viewed as the place. What type of neck? Where on the neck? On the neck, connected simonim that are attached. That I can understand. But that's a statement about place, not a statement about act. Mashenka, the way the Bahagwah learned this sugya over here, is that we're talking about the act of akira simonim at the time that I do it.
Ikur means an
impunction? No, ikur means to pull off.
Off,
right. To ne'ekar. Akor mashu means to rip it out. It's ripped out of its mokum of attachment. All right, we're going to see later on, we're going to see differences in the way that a simon can become attached. It can be peeled off, it can be ripped off, the connective tissue can come together with it, can remain. We're going to talk about all of those cases. When we get into the, we're going to see when we get into Hilchos Trefus differences in these cases. It's not an issue. The issue is whether it can be repaired to live that way. In other words, the fact that something may be grievously wounded does not necessarily mean that it's a trade for an avela, as long as it's repairable. Fine. So now, that doesn't mean that anybody's going to do the repair. It just means that it's theoretically repairable.
And today we're
going
to have surgeries
and things like that. No, we don't. We'll get to things like that later on. Especially using pumpkin cells to cover brain cages and things like that. The more it talks about it. But you want to use a real pumpkin head. Yeah, we'll have a case later on. The original jack-o'-lantern. Okay, so now time is Rebaka Bereda Rava. When Rabbi Bar Yecheskel was saying Ein Ikar Simonim Ba'Of, you know why he said that? Because he was going according to Mandi Amar, who holds that there's Beklal no din of Shkita, Midiraisa. There's no din of Shkita, Midiraisa. So it turns when the Rabbanan made the Takana, the Shech, and Oath, they didn't give so many problematic issues to be associated with it, such as the concern for Ikar Simonim. El, Lamandi Avah, Lamandi Avah. If you hold that there is, in fact, a din of Shkita La'av, why would there not be a din of Ikur? So according to that, Man Yomar Yesh Ikur. Omar Lay, so says Rav Ashi. It says, rather, Rabbi Bar Yecheskel to Rav Ashi, just the opposite. I would have said exactly the opposite. I would have said like this, that if you hold that Shkita is a diraisa, let's say that it's halacha leman shmi sinai. It doesn't say the fairish in the Torah, the din of zvicha by a bird. It only says it by an animal. So then I could say that when Meishu Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Meishu Rabbeinu, if there's a bird, shecht it, but don't worry about ikur. Fine, okay, I accept that, and that's the way it is. That's the way it is. As a matter of fact, even if you hold like the Mandi Amar, who says later on that the basis of Shkita Sa'ot is not that there was Allah from the Shri Sinai, but rather, since it says Vizavata Kasher Tziviticha, and Kasher Tziviticha implies Ofot as well, and it's comparing Of to Behema, and therefore it's like a Behema. Do you say, if it's like a Behema, I mean, so how was Ikur not included? Maybe there was a clause that was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, Le'inyan Ikur, Lo La'avik Behema. I'm comparing it to Behema, yes, because I mean, we always compare Oath, as we have a Hekish that compares Oath to the Zavak Rashi Tzidikicha is only a remis to local Moshe Mishinai, but there's also a Mandi Omar who holds that we compare Behema and Oath. The Torah always compares those Torahs of Behema vowels. And that is a comparison even of the Dinah Shkita according to Mandi Omar. But it could be that he agrees that the Zavata Kasher Tziviticha still limits that Hekesh. In other words, there's a Hekesh, Shech the bird, but Kasher Tziviticha. Remember, I taught you, when it comes to a bird, don't compare the bird. When it comes to Ikur, don't compare the bird to the bird. Even that I'll accept. But if you're going to tell me we're talking about a Takanit Rabbanan, then it's mad. How would the Rabbanan be misakin something that isn't modeled after something? Whenever the Rabbanan make a takona, they make a takona do shita. extend the din of shechita for a behemoth, extend it to a bird. So what I'm going to say, but the shechita of a bird consists of putting an apple on the top of the knife. I mean, it's totally mad. Why would we change the definition of something just because now we're talking about a bird? If they want to get an idea of what shechita is, we'll look at a behemoth and say, apply the din of the shechita. And all of a sudden you're going to arbitrarily say, yeah, but like ikur is not an issue. That doesn't make sense. Therefore, I would suggest that it's exactly not there. Julian, it's exactly the opposite. Well, was it Princess Summer Fall Winter School? Is it mini miny mo? We're going to talk about that. You must going to talk about the later by yourself. No. It's all going to be discussed because it says Asifa by the Slav and it says Asifa by Dogim. It's all Sigim. It's a good thing David isn't here. I'm going to So if you hold them on the Amra, Ain Shvitalopin HaTorah Medivresov, you hold the whole thing to the Rabbanan. So I ask you, Mehetig Mirla, what did the Rabbanan model, where did they get an idea of what a Shvita is? Why would they think up a crazy idea like Shvita? Because they're modeling it on the Behemah. So if that's the case, cool, and milsik behemah, I mean, you can't arbitrarily change it. It would have to reflect the din of a behemah completely.
They're following the construct.
It's called the model. Omer Ravina. Omerly Ravin Bar Kisi. Ravina said, you know, there's another thing, and that is that the whole application of Rami Bar Yechezkel, the way you guys have it, is backwards. Ravin Bar Kisi told me that when Rami Bar Yechezkel said, Ein Iker Simanim Ba'ov, he wasn't talking about Shvita. He was talking about Malika. And what he was saying is, actually, the whole point that he was making is that just like by Malika, Malika is done differently in its essence. So it's done with a Gzmisa. It's done with a Chalada. You don't see your fingernail is cut. In the mafrekas, we don't see you cutting the simanim. And maybe even shehiyah would be kosher. Who knows? There's a lot of discussion of that here. So, okay, makes sense. He's saying there's also no ikur, because the whole way in which it's done is similar to ikur.
So you're
allowed to make it a veil? It's not an avela. That doesn't define the act of malika. Malika can consist of ikur. But by shechita, I don't know what you're talking about. We're not talking about shechita. He was talking back about malika. Shechita, of course, there's a din of ikur. Why not? So, wait a minute. But then now the whole thing with Shmuel doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yirmiyah quoted Shmuel as saying, as kol ha-kosher b'shechita kenegdo ba'orav kosher b'malika. We learned from that the implication of, quote, ha-pasul, pasul. You tell me, if it would have been possible, but Malika would have been possible for Shechita. Now you're telling me, no, actually, there's a unique din when it comes to Malika. There's no problem of Ikur. And when it comes to Shechita, there is a problem of Ikur. No, who pleaded? That obviously argues. I mean, I'm not going to try to fit this in with the statement of Shmuel. I understand that the way you were learning the union of Shmuel, you have to look at it entirely different. I'm just telling you that Rabin Bar Kisi put it to me like this. It doesn't work out according to Shmuel, you're 100% right. I'm not discussing it. I'll leave it to Shmuel. Omer Ze'iri, Mishbra Mafreket Verov Basar Iman Nevela. An animal, a bird falls. The spinal column is broken, including most of the muscles supporting the neck are torn. The bird is immediately an Nevela, even if it's still alive. So in other words, even if it will continue to exhibit signs of life for another minute, its heart continues to pump, it's flapping its wings, all that being called mifar chesed, which normally is called alive, under these circumstances, this bird is dead. Okay? Similar to a brain death situation, which you may be keeping the rest of it alive. It's dead. And the implications are, it will be metame ben avela. Because it's dead. Rav Chista, Afanan Nami Tanina. I think I can actually learn that from a Mishnah. It says, Molach Pesach, somebody who uses a knife to do Malika, which is completely possible, Malika has to be done with your fingernail, that bird is Metame Begadim HaBeit HaBliyah. It's like, if somebody eats that bird, remember, an Ot Tahor, its Mevela is not Metame by touching it or by carrying it. Its Mevela is only Tame by swallowing it. Okay. Nivlas Ot Tahor, meaning a species that's tahor. The Ion Betrayth Ahavor. Now, if you're going to tell me that using a knife to cut through the back of the neck made the bird treifa, then when I continue to cut the simonim, I'm doing a shechita. But if I shecht a treifa bird, it's not metame like an avela. Therefore, what you have to conclude is that cutting through the back of the neck kills the bird. So when I now get to the simonim, all I'm doing is cutting dead meat. I'm not cutting simonim at all. And therefore, there's no way to be Matira. Now, that seems to imply exactly what you said. That breaking a neck is, in fact, Nevelus and not Trafus. Says the Gemara, no, you can't bring Uriah from there. Hamri Hasan, Mishum Delav Shchita Yiklal. The Shchita Tasimonim that followed in that case using the knife is not a Shchita. But had you shechted that bird now properly, perhaps it wouldn't have been Matanda Medavella. You can't prove it from there. Because the case that you offer, in which you cut through the back of the neck with a knife, lacks other fundamental issues of Shita. Does? Well, why? What's wrong? My timer, what's wrong? Rav Huda says, well, I'll tell you what's wrong. By definition, he was Machalid. He caused a Chalada. Why does he call it a chalada? Remember that a chalada means that the knife is hidden. So normally when one shechts from the front of the neck, you see what you're doing to the simonim because, as we said, the neck opens up, the knife isn't hidden, and I see what's going on if I want to. But when I'm shechting from the back of the neck with a knife, even if I cut through the spinal column, it doesn't open. There's still everything is held together tightly. Now I'm forcing my knife through. By the time I get to the simonim, I can't see what's going on. It's all covered by the muscles and by the back, the bone. So how am I going to see what I'm doing? Therefore, it's a chalada. Rava says the reason it's not a hack of shchita is because if you're doing malika, you're not moving your knife back and forth. You're pressing your knife down. So to say I did a malika with a knife would mean I didn't do an act of shechita. I jammed the knife through the back of the neck of an animal, continuing or bird, you're continuing on until I cut the simonim. Now tell me where the shechita is. Of course it's not a shechita. That's a pure drisa.
A malika with a knife.
Well, that was the case, was malika with a knife. The case was malika with a knife. What I'm claiming is that malika with a knife will always be a drisa.
Have we said that malika cannot have malika from there?
Well, that's what we're going to do now. Obviously, that's what this is implying, right? So, man, the armor potential machalid. If you're telling me that the reason is Rav Huna said, that it's a chalada, why doesn't he want to say that it's a drisa, which would be more obvious? Because he holds malika maybe than malika garsha. So who's to say that you didn't move your knife back and forth to do an act of shechita, as Rosh Baruch just pointed out? So maybe you did do an act of shechita. You're telling me that no matter how it is you use the knife for the back of the neck, the animal is mevela, not a treifa. So you can't tell me it's because of drisa, since a malika could also have been done by moving a knife back and forth. Now, Rava doesn't agree with that. Rava says you can't do a malika by moving your fingernail back and forth. Therefore, doing a malika with a knife would consist of jamming it down and not moving it back and forth. How do you call that a shechita by any stretch of the imagination? What about Rava? Why didn't he say kechalada like Rav Huna? Man yomer b'pnei shu dores. My time alo yomer b'pnei shu machalid. Or Marley, and here we have a machlokas of what the real definition of chalada is possibly. Others learn that Rava is not making this as an absolute statement, but he's saying, look, this would involve another issue, which is ton birur. You'll notice that the word chalada comes from the word cheled, which is the word for chulda. Right? In other words, Chaled is the earth, the inside of the planet, Yoshvei Chaled. A Chulda is something that lives on the earth, hidden.
A mole.
A mole. So it's hidden.
It
burrows, it hides under foundations, it never exposes itself. So therefore, Chalad is patterned after the word Kechulda. Hadora bi'ikarei batim, so it lives down by the foundations. And in which case it means it's mechatsia. You don't see it at all. But over here, this knife, I see the knife. I mean, I don't see the blade of the knife. I don't see, I mean, the where it's cutting. But I can still see the knife. And therefore, some learn maybe this is not called Chalada. Others learn Arava and Dita Singh Allah is not a Chalada, which we'll see later on creates problems in the city of Chalada later. Right. In other words, if this were a small knife in which it was completely covered, then I would be made. But who's to say that's what we're talking about over here? Maybe we're talking about a large knife, like the knife Moshe Baruch brought in yesterday. They're not going to be hidden in the neck of a bird. You've got plenty of bird heads you can go through with that knife before it gets hidden. So therefore, it's got to be another problem. The problem is drisa. So ha'atzam it's mechasi ha'achal megalim. All my rubber says rubber, but I'll tell you what bothers me about this whole sugya. It's maddening. Ikasha hakashali. You're telling me that if you break a neck, then basically we're talking about a dead bird. Can you explain to me then the meaning of Malika? That seems nonsensical. The Torah is saying, do an act of being mocked at this bird when the bird's dead. But by the time I get to the Simonim, the bird is dead. It's telling me I broke the neck of the bird, and now I'm going to do Malika Tashimana. It's absolutely a nonsensical pula. So how could he suggest that's true, that a bird with a broken neck is going to be a nevel? The Torah wouldn't have told me the dinim, make sure that you cut this, or the corner of the veshat. That's what's driving me crazy. The chimeta omedu malek. The guy's going to take a dead bird and cut the sibanim? Omalei Abaya says, Abaya, I don't understand. Let me ask you something. You have an ayla. The din of an ayla, the Torah says, is v'yavdil. Because we learn that out from the Moloch, the Ikhtar, just like Dr. Arosh Batzma, Vaguf Batzma, so to the Malik Arosh Batzma, Vaguf Batzma. Correct? Remember this back from Zivori. Now, cutting through the second simen of the bird is meaningless. Because once I cut through one simen of the bird, that's not Kechayusa. That's the din of the Shechita of a bird is one simen. So now you're telling me, so why did the Torah say to cut the second simon, since by the time you cut the first simon, essentially this bird is already dead? So why don't you ask that question? So you see that the Torah can sometimes mandate a pu'ula, which has resemblance to the pu'ula of Shechita, but it isn't meant to be an act of Shechita necessarily, just because I'm applying it in Malika. There's a separate halacha. This is the act you have to do. She's saying, but it's a meaningless act. So God will say to you, you know what? Leave the meaning to me. This is the way I want you to do it. Cut it this way. That's what I'm asking you to do. Cut it this way. And don't argue with me and say, but what's the point? The point is I said so. That's the point. The same thing with every Malika. So you cut through the back. Cut through the back. She says, what's the point? You don't like it. Do it the way I said. Says Rava, what are you talking about? That's not why you do the second simon of the oath. You do the second simon of the oath, not as an act of Malika in terms of Shechita. Hasem kedei lekayim ba mitzvat havdalah. The Torah says to separate the head. It happens to be that heads are connected with two simonim. So it says to separate the head, cut the other simon. Did the Torah ever imply, and that means that the bird is alive before you separate the head? What? You say that. Where did I ever say that? But my question is a very meaningful question. You're telling me that there's a din of Malika in the way in which I cut the simanim. I understand it's a dead bird, but it's not Kamina. What I do at that point? You want me to be mobbed with it? Fine, I'll be mobbed with a blowtorch. What does that have to do with doing Malika to it? Wait a minute. I mean, everybody agrees you don't have to cut through the skin of the bird. Well, you're telling me that there's a mitzvah should be separate. So then let the malika include cutting the skin of the bird off, and because that way you're going to separate the head from the body. So why isn't that the explanation, b'chol? And yet, I mean, there's no such halacha. That's because kol ma'akev b'shkita, ma'akev b'avdola. B'chol she'enu ma'akev b'shkita, enu ma'akev b'avdola. Look, clearly the din of malika is an analog to the din of shkita, right? There, you're right, there's a din of havdola. But the din of havdola really doesn't care about a havdola of non-essential. Let's say this bird is wearing a very beautiful coat. It's not behind me to take off the coat and make sure that its head doesn't fall off like those, the Harry Potter ghosts and so on. He's wearing a nice scarf that holds his head back on his body. That would also be fine. The Torah is telling me to do those things which would normally be included in a malika. In a shkita, I should do it in a malika, even though it makes sense in terms of. She must know that I'm in the middle of shiur. Hello? Turn your phone off! My kids are crazy. It's okay. When you get a bill for a 3-hour phone call because somebody just happened to press this and so on. Do you ever get one of those messages that goes on for 3 hours in which you're listening to everything that the person is talking about for the first 3 hours because I didn't turn off their phone?
Yeah, but if you turn
it
off,
it's a disaster. A disaster.
It should just connect straight away.
I hope so. But when they leave a message, you can't just
get it.
No, that's the problem. But I've heard of someone who won a legal case like that. You overheard a whole conversation. It's the guy who knew I had the phone with him. And he went back and told the guy, look, this is on my phone. You want to drop the case?
Wow. That's recording the feeling as well.
There we go. All right. So therefore, I understand if something normally is an analog to shkita, cutting the simonim is an analog to shkita. What's the point of cutting skin if there would be no skin there? So there's no skin anyway. It's not part of shkita. Let's say there would be no skin around an animal's neck. There's some problem. You can't do a shkita. You can do a shkita perfectly well.
You have to do the havdala with your neck, and you then go with the knife.
No, the havdala is part of the way you do the malika. Well, now, wait a minute. What about mir simanim? Hold on a minute. The Rabbanan later on say that when you do malika, you have to cut through both of the simanim, not rove. Shrita is only done on rove, okay? Now, you can't tell me that kala ma'akev b'shkita ma'akev b'malika, she'enu ma'akev b'shkita enu ma'akev b'malika, because rove simanim are not ma'akev b'shkita either. Nonetheless, there's a halacha of cutting through them b'malika according to the Rabbona. So therefore, your hagdara is not really accurate. So in which case, if it's a mitzvah of Abdullah, who's to say that it doesn't apply to the skin? It's not enough b'malika. Your fingernail. You got to do the whole thing. Or both in an olah. Right. Okay. Let me adjust that. Or the pedantic nature of some of these people. Kol sheyeshno b'shkita yeshno b'havdala. V'chol she'eno b'shkita eno b'havdala. I do not mean whatever is ma'akiv b'shkita. I mean those things that are significant, otherwise known as simonim, kona and veshets, are significant for shkita. Those are the significant elements for malika. Feathers, skin, scarves around necks. Those have nothing to do with shkita, and therefore have nothing to do with malika. As far as the shear is concerned, fine. So the Torah is not that over on Abdullah. That's Abdullah the whole thing. That's not the issue. But what is the object is the question. The object is the things that are involved in the act of shkita. Those are the things that are involved in the act of malika. In any event, can we get back to the question? Mikom makom kasha, says Robert. So now, do I have a problem or don't I have a problem? I have a dead animal, basically, a dead bird. You're telling me to do malika. Why am I doing malika? I would understand. I would like to understand. The fact that you have to do havdola, that's all very nice. Why do I have to do malika? Omar Rava, therefore, says Rava, it must be that it's an essential din of Malika not to break through the spinal cord together with all of the muscle attachments. Remember, what was the statement? Omaziri? Nishprama freket varov basar ima. So in other words, if the bone was broken, but nonetheless the neck is supported by the muscles of the neck, then it's considered to be a trefa, but it's not an avela until it dies. So wait 10 seconds. But meanwhile, it's not an avela. So therefore, it must be that the way to do malika is to be careful not to cut too much and to leave rov basa. And therefore, I'm chotech shidra umafrekes below rov basa. I have to make sure that I do it without most of the width of the basa of the neck, and therefore it's not considered to be a dead bird. And then I can do my malika simanim. And then I'm doing malika simanim on a dying bird, but not on a dead bird. And then it makes sense to do malika. But otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
And the head has to be severed in the end.
For an olam, not for a chatz.
Does this have ramifications on...
Only a korban oila we learn how to malak meaning to. A chatz is also to be ma'at, v'lo yavdil. V'lo yavdil.
Does this have ramifications on brain death? I mean, for
yeah, it certainly should. If it's bandish perm effect, it's Varog Busser, and then it would be true of a person as well. He's dead.
Wow.
But it doesn't mean it's because of brain death. That could be it's a new halach. What's that? Sum it up? It's all very straightforward. What's it even to sum it up? What we ended up coming out with is that we have a similarity that was initiated by the Mishnah between Malika and Shechita. We see them in some sense as opposites. In the most simple sense, the opposition is in terms of this place in which we do the action. But we know that there's other oppositions, such as oppositions, such as Shechita uses a knife, Malika has to use the Guf or Shokoin. And there may be other elements in which they're opposite as well. Shechita, we know, has to use a back and forth movement. Malika, it's not clear whether a back and forth movement would be acceptable to Chlal. Furthermore, when it comes to Ikur, there's a Shechita that in Rami by Yecheskel there's no Ikur by Malika, whereas there certainly is an Ikur by Shechita. Now, that's not true according to the Maamar of Shmuel that was quoted, but at least it would be true in a certain sense. Furthermore, we have the question of whether a cutting of simanim without cutting first the mafrekes, which is the definition of shechita, would be kosher b'malika, and that was the case of the rovim. Furthermore, we also raised the question of how to do malika, because we were certainly willing to accept that malika can be done only on something that would otherwise be a trefa. Because shechita is also done on something that otherwise is a trefa. As soon as I start cutting the neck of the animal, and I get to the veshet, and I make a hole in the veshet, this animal is now a trefa. I keep cutting, and now it becomes kosher to eat. So it means that the act of shechita can involve trefas. That doesn't bother me. Cutting through a mafrekes also creates a trefa. And if I continue to shecht the simanim, molek the simanim, that's the way to do malika. Now it's kosher. The kohen eats it. But to kill something, here I don't get into that problem in shechita because I don't kill when I shech until after I do the shechita. But by the malika, if you're going to tell me that I cut through the mafrekes, now we've got a problem because a mafrekes with rov basa is murder. It's not an act of malika because by the time I get to the simanim, which is central to the malika, the animal's already dead. And it's metamic. I mean, what's the point of doing a malika b'chlal? So it turns out that we came up with some fascinating tradition regarding the tzuras on malika as well in this sugya. Even though, again, I want to point out to you, this is very much part of the theme of the first parak, which is the interrelationships of the acts of chulin to the acts of kedusha. Because here, what we've done is we started off with the thought that perhaps hocha ikar. So that here would be a place in which we're going to talk about the main dinim Apshita, I'm going to use a Satana Ruha, and so on and so forth. And those aspects, when it comes to Kachem, are extensions of the Zvicha that actually is a Chulin idea. Because remember, there seems to be something, as the Rambam points out, in the introduction to the Mishnayos of Kachem. Isn't it a contradiction in terms to have a Masechta called Chulin and Kachem? I mean, it seems to be a breakdown of elementary notions of order. You're talking about Seder Kachem, and you put in the Masechta called Chulin. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Kachem and Chulin are opposites. So how can a Masechta called Chulin be subsumed by Kachem? Now, that issue is fundamental to understanding the whole beginning of the Masechta. Because what we tried initially, what we saw were the interrelationships of Shechita, the Shechita's Kachem, but now beautifully, we just happen to move on accidentally into the concepts of Malika, which you say, well, Chulin will never deal with Malika. We certainly don't expect to polish up our dinner with Malika in the Masechta's Chulin. And it's exactly what we end up doing. Because we see in the ways in which Malika is patterned after Shechita. Right? And again, the whole thing looks like just agav, we were just bringing it to clarify the dinner of Shechita. But in fact, we ended up learning things about Malika that we never knew before when we learned Kachem. Quite amazing. Of course. It's kosher by feeling. That's the whole problem.
Malika
bird is eaten by Bani, and for Yisrael, that would seem to be straight out in the mail.
Exactly. And there's no
Malika
at all without
a coin. Right. Strange concept.